Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her."
Will you pray with me? Lord, help us each to hear what you would have us hear in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, have I had a busy 2 weeks since I got back into town. I just have had so much to do that the time ran out before my to-do list did. Some of you may already have picked this up. I am an organized person, and I like organization. And disorganization kind of bothers me, and if I were honest, disorganized people sometimes annoy me. Take my sister Mary, for instance. She and I are so different, and we do things so differently. I like to take care of our home and have people in and fix meals for them. And Mary, well, as far as I can tell, Mary just likes to sit and daydream. And it can get annoying. This week was a good example. As I said, it was just a crazy week. And I was really looking forward to yesterday to just rest and relax a little bit. And then we got word that a friend of ours was coming into town and that he was going to have dinner at our house. Well, of course, then I had to immediately begin to think about what to do to prepare for that, to get the house ready and food. As I said, Mary and I do things very differently. You know, I like to take care of my house. You know, we only have a small house. It's only two rooms, really. But I still like it to be warm and welcoming and comfortable. That makes people feel at home when they come to our house. Mary has a tendency to kind of leave things all over the place. And so that makes more work for me. Well, I began to think about all that needed to be done before our friend got there. And, of course, the first thing, I began going around straightening things up because Mary never seems to put things back where it belongs. I believe in that saying, a place for everything and everything in its place once you're done with it. But Mary doesn't follow that rule, and so I was going around straightening things up, and at the same time I was beginning to think about what were we going to serve for dinner for our friend. Well, I knew that we had some fresh fruits and vegetables that I had just purchased at the open-air market in our village. And then I began to think we didn't have any bread. And so I immediately went in and began to prepare the bread. And I can do that in my sleep, so I was able to begin to think, what else would we have to eat? I knew that our first course would be the lamb that my brother Lazarus had just killed that morning and dressed. It was already on the fire going. And so we could serve that. It would go good with the vegetables that I would cook. And then we would have some cheese made from our own goat's milk. And then probably some lentils with rice. And then at the end of the meal, a big bowl of dates and figs and pomegranates and grapes. You know, my mouth was beginning to water. I mean, this sounded like a pretty good meal to me, and I knew that our guest and our friend would really appreciate it. Well, then I also, when I thought about all of that, I realized there was a lot to be done if we were going to get it all finished before he arrived. We also had to set the table in the only room that we could, you know, eat in. Well, I wasn't about to do all of this myself. I couldn't, you know, and I can't always count on Mary, but she was going to have to step up to the plate this time. So I called to her, and I asked her if she would go in and at least get that room ready, you know, with the table and the cushions, and to be sure to take our best plate for our good friend. he is a good friend, and he has come to our home before, but, you know, I don't always want to serve the same thing, and so I always try to serve something different every time he comes. And he always tells me how much he appreciates my hospitality and my cooking, you know. And so, you know, who doesn't like to hear that? But, you know, it just always seems that every time he comes, there just doesn't ever seem to be enough time to spend with him. You know, what with all the preparation and then serving the meal and cleaning up, pretty soon it's time for him to go home, and I haven't really had any time with him. But then he always tells me how much he appreciates what I do and the meal, and so that makes it all worthwhile. Well, I began to prepare the vegetables and realized that, well, I'm going to need to wash them. And so when I went to the big jug of water, I discovered it was empty. Someone had forgotten to go into the town well that morning. And so someone was going to have to go and fill up the jug, because we were going to need water. We were going to need water to help prepare the meal and wash the vegetables. We were going to need it when our guest arrived to wash the dust off of his feet. We were going to need it for the finger bowls after the lamb that I was serving and the greasy fingers we would have. Well, I called Mary to see, you know, if she was there, but I didn't get any answer. But I figured she was doing the job that I'd given her. But I walked in there just to make sure, so that she could go get the water. And when I went into the other room, nothing had been done, and Mary was nowhere in sight. I was furious. You know, but you know what? I don't know why I expected anything else. That's just the way she is. So this meant that I had to take the jug and go down to the town well. And so I hoisted it on my head and walked down there. Of course, it was the hottest part of the day, and the only people that go to the well at that time of day in that heat are the prostitutes or the men that stand around leering them. I was hoping that nobody would think I was one of them. But all the way there and back, I was muttering to myself. I was sure the people passing me by thought I was one of those lunatics that sit outside the city gate, you know, talking to themselves all the time. But I was muttering, and I was talking to Mary, and I was telling her off, even though she wasn't there. Well, by the time I got back with the water, I didn't have time to go look for her. There was so much to get done, and I got the vegetables prepared and the lamb was going, and the bread was baking, and I just was getting everything ready. And so then I decided to go into the room and get it set up, the job that she didn't do. And so I went in and I pulled the one table, the low table, out in the middle, and then put cushions around it. And then I took the few dishes that we have and I made sure that I put that special one where our friend was going to sit. And, you know, after I thought about it, I thought, you know, it probably was just as well that, you know, Mary didn't do this, because she never really did it right. You know, she'd put things in the wrong place, or she'd forget things, you know. So I decided it was probably just as well that I did it, because then I knew it would be done the right way. Well, I went back outside to the fire to check on everything, and a little while later I heard some talking and laughing in the front of the house. First, I heard Mary's happy, lilting voice. And I thought to myself, of course she's happy. You know, she hasn't had to stand over a hot fire all day long. She hasn't had to move furniture. She hasn't had to walk in the hot noonday sun down to the well and bring back the water. Why shouldn't she sound happy? And all of a sudden, I was hot and tired and unhappy and a little annoyed. No, I was a lot annoyed. In fact, I was furious. But then I heard Jesus' voice. You see, that was the friend that was coming to our house for dinner. There was always something about his voice that just calmed me down. I could hear them laughing and talking out there, and I have to admit that I felt a little bit left out of things, like they were experiencing something that I wasn't a part of. Well, I dried my hands and I smoothed down my hair and took off my apron and went into the other room just as they were coming in the door. Oh, it was so good to see Jesus again. You know, his presence always just brings a calmness to my spirit. And he greeted me as he always does, and he looked at me with those eyes of love that just seemed to be able to look right inside me. I welcomed him to our home and said it was so good to see him. Mary was already over getting the water for him to be able to wash the dust off his feet. I said, make yourself at home. There's just a few more things to do. And as I turned to go, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Mary just plop down in front of him at his feet. And again, I had that little twinge of feeling like I was being left out of something and missing out. But I needed to go get dinner finished. And so I went. And then a little bit later, I came in and I announced that dinner was ready. And I invited Jesus to sit around the table. And again, Mary went and sat on the cushion right next to him. She didn't get up to help me. She didn't even ask if there was anything I could do. So I went back and forth, schlepping the food back and forth, bringing new bread, refilling the wine glasses. And all of a sudden, I just snapped. I had had it. I was sick and tired of doing all the work and Mary not doing it, and I knew that Jesus would agree with me. So I marched myself right in there, stood right next to Jesus with my hands on my hips, and I said, Jesus, can't you see that I'm doing all the work here and that Mary's not doing anything? You know, you need to tell her to get up and start helping me. Boy, did that feel good. And I looked at Mary because I wanted to see the look on her face when Jesus gave it to her. And then there was some silence, and I turned and I looked at Jesus, only to discover that he was looking at me. And he had this sadness in his eyes. And then he said, Martha, Martha, you've got yourself so worked up and worried and stressed out over so many things. Right now, Mary is doing what's needed, what's right, what's important. Say what? Are you kidding me? How did he think that the house had been cleaned and the meal had been prepared and served? Did he think it just happened all by itself? Well, I have to tell you that I was a little bit, you know, hurt and a little angry that Jesus would say that to me, and that he would say, or at least it seemed like he was saying that what Mary was doing was more important than what I was doing. And if he was saying that, was he saying that she was more important than me? And I didn't know what to think. And I have to say that the rest of the evening just went kind of by in a blur as I went back and forth and moving things and then bringing the fruit out and then clearing the dishes. And when it was time for him to go home, I went to the door, I almost couldn't look him in the eye because I was still stinging from his earlier words. And yet Jesus didn't treat me any differently than he did Mary. He didn't treat me any differently than he ever had before. He thanked me, as always, for my hospitality and for the wonderful meal. And then he left. And I turned and I went back to finish the cleaning up. But I got to tell you, his words were ringing in my head. And I kept reliving that evening and all that had happened. And I have to admit that I realized that I probably did deserve to be chastised, if I was honest with myself, because I get so caught up in all the details and all the doing and the serving that I forget that the most important thing is the one whom I'm serving. Jesus wasn't choosing Mary over me, and he wasn't saying that Mary was better than me or that what I was doing wasn't important. But what he was saying to me was that sometimes the doing, if that's all that I do, makes my serving empty and hollow. And that what I need is to balance that, to come and take time to sit at his feet and listen to him. To listen to what he has for me to do so that I don't have to worry about all the details. And that's really why I came here this morning, was to tell you what I learned yesterday. There may be some here today that don't even know my friend Jesus. And I hope that you can get to know him because he can change your life the way he's changed mine. Some of you do know Jesus, but you may be like me and you don't spend as much time meeting with him, listening to him. I know that you're all busy people doing important, necessary, worthwhile things. But if you don't take the time to stop and meet with Jesus, your serving is going to be less than worthwhile. He made us who we are. He made us to be the people that we are. But he also made us to need him. And he just waits for us to come and sit at his feet and listen to him and talk with him. I'm learning to have a merry heart in a Martha world. And that's my prayer for you too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for making us who we are, each unique people. But thank you also for making us to need you, to be in relationship with you. Help us to learn how to balance that and to take the time to do what is most important, and that is spending time with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to our hymn of commitment, number 380, Living for Jesus. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. We hear these words from Romans 12. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. For take us now back into the world, to be your people, to be your hands and feet, and give each of us a merry heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.